have your Bibles tonight, we're interested in the 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23. And amazing how this psalm relates to the Song of Degrees, or the Songs of Degrees, from which we spent a number of weeks. And we're interested tonight in this entire psalm, but especially this very first verse. Let's look at this verse, Psalm, or this chapter, especially verse 1, Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David the psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd." We have studied about capital L, capital O, capital R, capital B, being the Lord God Jehovah, the God that demands righteousness. He is my shepherd, the God that dispenses righteousness. It's distressed by my unrighteousness. He is my shepherd. Tonight I want to preach on my shepherd. Now David knew something about shepherding, and he also knew something about sheep. Sheep are gullible. Sheep are defenseless. Sheep are in constant need of care. They don't have big fangs, and they don't have big claws, and they don't have any speed to run away with, and they're needing shelter all the time. They need direction. They need guidance. And just to be honest, they're prone to wander. And I believe with all my heart that David, as he looked at his flock, believed that he was a sheep in the flock of the shepherd, the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says, and I want to hold my place here and turn to chapter 119, which was my great-grandfather's favorite chapter, Psalm 119, which is the chapter just before the Song of Degrees begin, those 15 chapters. I want to look at the last verse, the last thing that was said before the Song of Degrees began. Psalm 119, verse 176. Look what David says about being a sheep. When you found it, say amen.
Amen.
David says, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep." See that? Sheep are prone to wander and go astray. In that great chapter, Isaiah chapter 53, where it's a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, how the Lord was going to lay on him the iniquity of us all. Listen what Isaiah wrote. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." Let me say, Pastor Darren, this Old Testament stuff, Old Testament. What about New Testament? Glad you said. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as a sheep not having a shepherd. David said, "I am one of those sheep gone astray, prone to wander, needing shelter, needing guidance. Thank God I have a shepherd." Sheep need a shepherd. Without a shepherd, the sheep will not make it. You ought to say amen right there. They will not survive without a shepherd. So I started thinking about how David compares himself to a sheep, and then David also was a shepherd. When we first read about David in 1 Samuel chapter 16, there's some stunning facts about David in 1 Samuel chapter 16. You remember how Saul the king had been rejected because of his flesh and his rebellion and disobedience to what God told him to do. And God would strip away the title of Saul being king. And he said, I'm going to make king someone after my own heart. And he told Samuel, the prophet, the man of God, I want you to go down to Jesse's house. Let's read about it. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Verse 6. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab, that's the oldest, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Amen. Look with me in verse 10. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. We see what was David doing when God anointed him as king. David was keeping the sheep. He is a shepherd. But David said, I'm not my own shepherd. I'm just a sheep of his pasture, prone to go astray. I need the Lord. He is my shepherd. Now, I want to keep reading because there's some things that grab my attention. Look at verse 19. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And we know that David came and began to play the harp. And when he played the harp, the evil spirit that was on Saul began to be soothed and calmed down when David played. Look at chapter 17, verse 15. Just 3 passages we're looking at. Chapter 16 we read. Look at chapter 17, verse 15. And David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. He's still, though he's anointed king, though he's kind of going back and forth, playing the harp before the king, he's still concerned about the sheep. In fact, look with me further in this chapter, verse 33. And we know that David's down there and there's giant, the giant Goliath is roaring against them, threatening. Verse 33, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and the uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Did you notice something in those 3 passages? Look at it again. In verse 19, Saul said, send me David,
which is with the sheep. Who did he send the message to? He sent the message to David's father. Look at chapter 17, verse 15. David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep. Look down here in verses 33, 34, 35, and 36. It says, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep." You know what I learned? My shepherd has a father. Look at verse 12, speaking about the father. Now David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had eight sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. In other words, Jesse was probably the oldest man in the entire kingdom of Israel. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and my shepherd has a father." Jesus' father is not an earthly father. Jesus' father is God. My shepherd, Jesus, is the Son of God. Now Jesus is so much man, but yet He's so much God. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. My shepherd is God. He was so much man that He slept in the boat. But He's so much God, the wind ceased when He spoke. He's so much man that He wept when Lazarus died. But He's so much God, Lazarus came forth when He cried. He's so much man that He thirsted at the well. But He's so much God that He saved our soul from hell. He's so much man that He died upon the tree. But He's so much God that He arose in victory. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked the question, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Some say, "Thou art Elias." Some say, "Thou art John the Baptist." Some say, "Thou art Jeremiah." Some say, "You're one of the other prophets." Jesus said, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." You see, my shepherd is, I feel preaching, my shepherd is more than just a man. My shepherd is the God man. He's full God and He's full man. Preacher Dan, explain that to me. Honey, I wish I could. I can't even understand it myself, but I believe what the book says. Listen to what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, explaining or speaking of this mystery. "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." My Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, God created heaven and earth." My Bible also says in the book of John, "In the beginning was the Word," capital W-O-R-D, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And He goes on to say, verse 14, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." Who? The only begotten of the Father. My shepherd has a Father. He's full of grace and truth. What I'm trying to submit to you is that God created all things, and God's Son manifest in the flesh. Amen. He was there, and He, Jesus, created all things as well. My shepherd has always been, will always be. My shepherd created all things. Honey, there's nothing too hard for my shepherd. If you're one of His sheep and you need care and you need love and you need shelter and you need protection, honey, your shepherd has a Father, and He's God Almighty, and He controls all things, and He made all things, and He created all things. Honey, He's going to handle your problem. Amen. Now the book of Zechariah, it's the minor prophets, one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament. You'll see Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah. I want to turn to chapter 12. I want you to turn there. Zechariah chapter 12, verse number 1. It's important that you see this. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel. Look, Lord is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Jehovah God that demands righteousness. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundations of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Creator God. Do you see it in verse 1? The Lord. Look at verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. When they said he'll look upon me, whom they pierced. Who died on the cross? Jesus is the one who died upon the cross. But in verse 1, Jehovah God the Lord is speaking about creation. And He used the pronoun me. You see that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. A preacher there, now you're preaching the Trinity. There are some doctrines has a problem right there. Preacher, explain to me the Trinity. I wish I could. But I can't. But honey, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. The three are one, and yet the one are three. God Almighty left the throne in heaven in the person of His Son, died on the cross, was buried, and arose on the first day of the week. My Bible says, speaking of Jesus, Colossians 2:9, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Let me say it again. That's a hard one to swallow. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. That's the Godhead's the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. In Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 30, He said, I and my Father are one. I hope y'all are not having a hard time with what I'm trying to tell you. But I want to say that my shepherd, He's the God of the universe. Can I read you a text that oftentimes we read during Christmas time? It's in Isaiah chapter number 9. Look at it. Look at it now. Thinking about Jesus being God. There are people who say, oh, I serve God, but I don't serve Jesus. Honey, you can't serve God if you don't come through Jesus. There's no other way. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. What's this? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful. Hallelujah. Counselor. Hallelujah. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. You see, Jesus, the Son, is also called, look at it. He's called the Mighty God. He's called the Everlasting Father. Woo! Boy, isn't that wonderful? Now, Jehovah God, the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, He demands righteousness. He made a demand of me. And all my righteousness is filthy rags. I could not fulfill His demand. I could not keep His demand. I was headed to hell. But the God that made the demand came and died in my place and paid and fulfilled the demand so He would give me righteousness
and forgive my sins so I could go to heaven and spend eternity with Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My shepherd has a father. Now, we're going back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. David's getting ready to go to battle with Goliath, and Saul said, "Oh boy, you can't do this. You're not able to fight him. You're just a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth." And David said in verse 34, he said, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep." Now, this makes me think. My shepherd, not only does he have a father, my shepherd has a flock. And his flock is a particular flock. It's not just one great big any old flock. His sheep belong to the Father. Well, preacher, and I think everybody belongs to Him. Oh no! No, everybody's not in the Father's flock. To get in the Father's flock, you must be born again. Oh, Pastor, isn't God the Father of all? Well, let's listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 44. He said to a crowd of unbelievers that were against Him, He said, "You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." John 8, 44. You see, evidently, there's two flocks. There's God the Father's flock, and there's the devil. He has a flock. He's a murderer and liar. And if you are an unbeliever, you're of the flock that's of the devil. Pastor Darren, I didn't want to hear that. Listen, if you want the Lord to be your shepherd, you're going to have to be born again. When David said, "The Lord's my shepherd," it means that I've been born again. I'm saved. My faith is placed in the Lord. Now look with me. Go back to our text, verse 34. David said, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock." Can you just see that happening? There's David the shepherd, and the lion comes to take a little lamb out of the flock. And what did the shepherd do? Verse 35. "I went out after him." You see, the shepherd went out after that one that was lost. That one that was in the lion's clutches. That one that was going to be destroyed. The shepherd went out after him. Aren't you glad the shepherd did not say, "Well, I have a whole flock to take care of. That one little lamb doesn't really matter." Aren't you glad the shepherd didn't say, "That little lamb's not really worth my time"? Aren't you glad the shepherd didn't say, "That little lamb is not really worth my trouble"? Aren't you glad the shepherd didn't say, "If I go after that lamb, I'll have to risk my life"? Oh no. Rather, the shepherd went after that one that was in danger. And what did David do? Look at it, verse 35. Watch this. I hope you're awake. You got to see it. Verse 35. He said, "I went out after him and I smote him." Preacher Darren, what does that mean? He killed him. No, it don't. It means he slapped him right through the face. To smite is to strike. It is to hit. It is to beat. It is to slap. I ought to preach online slapping. David, the shepherd, went out to the lion who had the sheep in his clutches, who had the sheep. I can just see him as he's got that sheep surrounded in his arms. His fangs are getting ready to bite into him. He's growling at him and snarling at him. And the little lamb's in fear, and he's afraid, and he knows he's getting ready to die, and he knows it's getting ready to be over. He's about to suffocate. He's about to die in this place. And about that time, the shepherd walks up and says, "No, let him go. And he slapped him right through the face. And the Bible said, after he smote him, that he delivered him. Look at it. After he slapped him through the face, he delivered the lamb right out of his mouth. Now, he must care. My shepherd must care about me a whole lot if he's willing to go out and grab hold of a lion and slap him through the face so that I could go free. I don't know any other shepherds that's going to slap a lion face to face right through the mouth. Boom! Let him go. Honey, if you're saved tonight, that's what the Lord did for you. My Bible still says in 1 Peter chapter number 5 and in verse number 8, listen to it. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's walking to and fro. He had you in his clutches. Brother, I want you to know, he had you and me in his clutches, and the Lord came by and slapped him through the face and set us free. What a shepherd! He's undaunted. He's unafraid. He's powerful. He's able. Don't you get down here in fear and say, I don't know what I'm going to do. We've got COVID. I don't know what I'm going to do. We've got problems going on in Ireland. Honey, you have a shepherd. And your shepherd will take care of every one of your needs. I'm glad he's my shepherd. Now, if that lion, you hold on. If that lion had any sense, when he got slapped through the face, he'd have thought, poof. Ain't nobody ever slapped me. I better leave that man alone. Ain't no shepherd ever come and took a lamb right out of my mouth. Ain't no shepherd had the bravery, had the guts, had the ability to walk into my lair and slap me through the face and deliver that lamb, my lunch, my meal, what I worked to get, and get it, take it right away from me. That lion ought to have better sense than that. But instead, that lion said, oh, no, No, he didn't come up in here and take away my lunch. He didn't come up in here and slap me in the face. I'll show him who's boss. I'll show him who's able to roar. I'll show him the strength and the power of the lion. Are you with me in the Bible? I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him. He slapped him again. He slapped him the first time and delivered the lamb. And when the lion said, oh, no, you did not. I'll arise and I'll roar against you. And the shepherd said, just get back with your bad self. Slapped him to the face again, and then he slew him. Amen. My shepherd's in the lion slapping. I'm telling you, hey, some of us, you feel like you've been slapped around on your job, where you live. I'm telling you, and listen, you know who's going to get slapped around? The lion, that old devil, that old deceiver, that old accuser. He's going to be slapped in the face like lion whipped, amen. The Bible says, my shepherd bruised the head of the serpent. And my Bible says that the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. You ever felt like he had his clutches on you? You ever felt like he was bearing down? You could feel his hot breath. You could feel the drip of his saliva off of his mouth running down your neck. He was getting ready. He was going to eat you up. He was going to devour and destroy you. And the shepherd showed up and said, let him go. And out you went. Bye. Out you went. Amen. My Lord has bruised the head of the serpent. And you read there in the book of Romans. I remember one time my wife, well, we had got a bad diagnosis and things weren't looking good. We was discouraged, downtrodden. We'd been praying about a certain thing and we didn't get the results we looked for. You ever been praying and you didn't get the answer you wanted? It was different, altogether different, and for me, it was not a good answer. Let me tell you what, I got to preach in that last verse, those verses over there in Romans, where the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. When the service was over, my wife came up. She got me by the hand. I thought she was going to say, would you pray with me? She looked at me and she said, would you walk with me? I said, what? She said, you just said it, that the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And she said, I just want to practice. And man, she took off around that church, and I just hold her head. She was going up and down, up and down. She was a practicing, stomping on the devil's head. They, some of you, you ought to help me. The devil's going to get slapped by the Lord, and you're going to get to walk on him and stomp on his head and bruise him under your feet. I say, thank God for my shepherd. Hey, here, kitty, kitty. Amen. He's well able. Now, my shepherd, evidently, he's got the power to rescue you. He can break any bondage, anything that oppresses you, any chains that holds you. I don't care what your situation is. My shepherd can rescue you tonight. He can translate you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. One day at Balfour Baptist Church, on July the 13th, 1978, I made my way into that church, a hell-bound sinner. I sat there under conviction, my heart beating out of my chest, thought I was going to die in the pew. They gave an invitation. I came down the aisleway, and my knees buckled under me in the middle of the aisleway. I was in the devil's clutches. He said, you didn't make it, boy. His thing is over. But my daddy said, son, what's wrong? I said, daddy, I need to be saved. And I didn't make it. He said, I've got good news. He's come to you. And he slammed the line off of me. And well, hallelujah. And delivered me out of his mouth. He rescued me. And he translated me from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Somebody ought to help me preach. Thank God we've been translated. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Now I understand something. Preacher Darren, the flock of God is despised by the world. You remember when David, his father sent him down there to check on his brothers. They was getting ready to go to battle with the Philistines. And old Goliath's down there roaring against them and yelling blasphemies and cussing God. And David goes to check on the boys. And the boys, they really don't want him there. Read with me in verse 28. Verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? Do you hear the disdain? Did you hear the despisal of his brother? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? That's what they think about you, the world. They think you're gullible. You're stupid. You're weak. There's nothing to you. And after all, there's just a few of you out in the wilderness that don't make a hill of beans in the world and the society and the political fields and atmosphere in which we now live. You know I'm telling it right. They could care less about you. Amen. But I want to tell you, my shepherd does. My shepherd says, fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the keys of the kingdom. You have keys and access to go into the throne room of God, to get on your knees and boldly have access and call upon His name. The world may despise you, but your shepherd cares for you. The last time I checked, my shepherd's bigger than the world. My shepherd, he leads and guides and protects and cares for his flock. God's flock is delivered. I've been delivered from the judgment of sin. I've been delivered from the bondage of sin. Honey, I've been delivered from the power of sin. I will stop. I shall stop. Are you in his flock? Are you in the flock of God Almighty? Can you truthfully say tonight, the Lord is my shepherd? Well, hallelujah. Oh, I challenge you tonight, if you can't say it, I hope before this service is over, you'll take the time to get down and say, Lord, that egg-sucking devil don't care nothing about me. He's trying to defeat me. He's trying to destroy me. He's trying to use me up. He's going to leave me empty and cold and leave me for dead. And I'm telling you, son, something, honey, if you'd look to the Lord, He'd save you. He'd rescue you. He'd forgive you. He'd call you His child. He'll say, go to God. He'll forgive your sins and secure your soul and let you go to heaven. My Bible still says, whosoever, I can't get off of it, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Man, it's running through my mind right now. I was asked to go preach in a revival meeting in January. I mean, nobody has a meeting in January. It's cold. It snows. It's icy. People don't like to get out. But the pastor said, I feel led, brother. Would you come preach? Preached every night. Sunday night through Friday night. And the pastor said on Friday night, he said, let's take a break on Saturday. Would you? I mean, it was a good meeting. People getting help. Good crowd. But he said, will you come back Sunday night and start a second week? I said, you want me to what? He said, I feel like we ought to go night by night, start Sunday night. Man, I went back down there on Sunday night. That place was packed, slam out. I couldn't find a parking place. Had to park up on the side of a ridge over there by the train tracks. I felt if the train got close enough, it flipped my car off down in that gully where I had to park. I went in, honest. They had chairs down the middle. I had to, Lord, I'm glad they didn't have COVID then. I had to go down the center of the aisle sideways. My shoulders wouldn't go side by side. I got in preached probably 15 minutes, and people was already getting saved. We went back Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm telling you, they had an exit area down this way where they had a ramp to roll coffins out. I was preaching in a big way and come around that corner, and son, it was setting full of people. I looked, every window was open in January, and people backed their trucks up and was sitting there in their lawn chairs. We went into the third week. I gave the invitation one night. I honest, I seen a drug dealer. He was sitting on about the third row. Everybody knows him. The place is packed out. And I gave the invitation. The altar was full. There's people getting saved over here, people getting saved over there. And that drug dealer, he looked to the left. People was blocking him. He looked to the right. People was blocking him. And I thought, what's he doing? And man, he jumped up and he began to walk the back of the pews one after one after one. And when he did, he jumped in a place where somebody just got up and he began to cry out. He said, oh God, would you save me? Man, when I heard him, I landed down there where he was, jumped over two people, and that old boy got saved. He walked the back of the pews to get saved. You know what the Lord did? The Lord slapped the line, and He slapped him again, and He delivered him. He tried to testify, but there's about two other testifying right before him, and he had to wait. And man, he was about to go crazy. Listen, he's hooked on Jesus. Just in a little bit, the piano player. Oh man, she played so pretty all week. In the second week, in the third week. And finally, during that invitation that night, when that boy said he got saved, the music stopped. I seen her get up off the stool of the piano, made her way down in the altar. I seen her, she knelt, began to weep and cry. Oh, little old lady, she used to help put on that play, I Dreamed I Searched Heaven for You. She came down there where she was. I heard her say, honey, what is it? I heard the piano say, all week long I've been playing. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. But the more I play it, the more I know I've never been saved. I don't know who Jesus is. Oh, I know of Him. But I can't say that the Lord is my shepherd. And I'm telling you, that sister, she began to slap her on the back. I heard her, she's old and feeble, couldn't get down. But she started saying, save her, Jesus, save her. Save her, Jesus, save her. Save her. And that girl, she said, Lord, I know I'm a piano player. I know I'm a church member. I know, Lord, that I'm a plastic and I'm a counterfeit. Oh, God, I'm a sinner. Would you save my soul? And my shepherd come out with, slammed to the line and slammed to the line, and he delivered her that night and saved her soul. When she stood up and said, "I just got saved," not an amen in the house. People just looked like, if our piano player just got saved. She said, "I want you to forgive me, church. I've been a fake. I've been a phony. I've been pretending to be part of the flock, and I'm not. I've been playing. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. But now she put her hands up. "I'm so glad to tell you that tonight I truly know who Jesus is. He saved my soul and forgiven my sin." I run down there beside her and I said, "Church, could she play the piano before she got saved tonight?" I said, "Just listen to her now." I said, "Honey, go play it." Now I'm telling you, she hit the first few notes on that piano, and it sounded like the angel band had jumped in with her. And men rejoiced and broke out over the church. I looked, her husband broke from the back of the building. He'd been sitting outside, give his seat up to somebody else, come running down the aisle, and he said, "Me too, sis. Me too, sis." That was his wife. "I need to be saved too." Woo! God saved 52 in 5 weeks. I'm just telling you, we have a shepherd who knew it. He don't care about your position. He don't care about your possessions. He don't care about who you say you are. He just wants to save your soul. Where's I at? Oh yeah. The Lord is my shepherd. Look back with me. 1 Samuel chapter 16. We read it already. Look at verse 11. Now, the man of God has come down there to anoint one of them boys, the new king. And 7 boys has passed before the man of God. And the Lord said, "It's not any of them." And Samuel, verse 11, said to Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest." And behold, what's he doing? He keepeth the sheep. You know what shepherds do? They keep the sheep. They anointed David as king that day. And Saul had an evil spirit on him. And he called for Jesse and said, "Send your boy David that keeps the sheep. Send him down here and have him play the harp for me." And he did. Now look with me in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 17, verse number 15. He says, David went and he returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. He came back as he could to take care of those sheep out there. And there came a time that his daddy said, "Son, I'm going to send you away. And I want you to go check and see how your brothers are doing." And the Bible says in verse number 20, look with me, verse 20, chapter 17, verse 20. Say amen if you're there. Don't go to sleep. Don't miss this. Amen. Chapter 17, verse 20. David rose up early in the morning. Now, I'm just going to take time out here. It's not part of my message. But I'm thinking of another shepherd that rose up early one morning. David rose up early in the morning and he left the sheep with a keeper. When David was sent away, he turned the sheep over to a keeper. I just want to say thirdly, and I'm done. My shepherd has a friend. The same word. As David kept the sheep, the friend kept the sheep. As David cared for the sheep, the keeper cared for the sheep. As my shepherd cares, I hope I get amen. As my shepherd cares for the sheep, he's turned us over to the Holy Ghost to care for the sheep. He's in the keeping business. You know what I can't quit. You know what the word keep means? It means a fixed position. Unchangeable. Not going to slide off and fall out. The Holy Ghost, He's keeping you. I have some verses. You see, the Holy Spirit is the third member of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God, the Holy Ghost. And all three are involved in my salvation, and all three are involved in keeping me. You got to see this verse. You got to see this verse. In the book of Romans, chapter number 8, I preached from this passage before, but you got to see this verse. I'm trying to quit, but you got to see this verse. Romans chapter 8, verse number 9. The day I got saved at the Balfour Baptist Church in the middle of that highway, when Jesus came to me and slapped the lion off of me, and He delivered me, and He saved me, you know what? The Holy Spirit moved inside me. On the spot, He moved inside me. And the Lord said, you keep Him. You keep Him. Now look what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, here's the thought. Look at this verse. Look at this sentence. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Whose flock do you belong to? If you belong to the flock of God, if the Lord is your shepherd, the Spirit of God is in you. And if He's not, you're none of the flock of God. You're none of His. It's very clear. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? Your body is a temple. You know in the Old Testament, when Moses and them, they built the tabernacle there, when it got complete, God moved in it. When Solomon built the temple, and when it got complete, God moved in it. And the minute you got saved, when you were made a new creature in Christ, and the old things were passed away, and when behold, all things were made new, God moved inside you. The Holy Ghost moved inside of you. The Bible says, listen, you are complete in Him. It is true that the Good Shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. And He sealed me with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Can I tell you my story one more time? As a young pastor, just starting out, I'd gone to visit with a family. The family, there was a death in the home. And I came there to visit as their friend, not as their pastor. And when I came in, they asked me to sit down. But my intent was to stay 10, 15 minutes to pray with the family and to leave. I said, no, thank you for the seat. And I stood there. And I stood there and I stood there. Finally, somebody brought me a piece of pie, which I did not ask for, which I did not want. And they shoved it in my face. And it just happened to be lemon with homemade meringue. And I accepted. And I sat down to eat that pie because I don't get the nickname Crumbly for no reason. And as I sat down to eat that pie, the lady kept looking at me. She'd come in the room and look at me and go back out. And I thought, she's checking to see if I want more pie. Then when I finished my pie, she still, I don't know what's going on. So I got up. I prayed with the family a second time. I went to the trash can, threw my little paper plate away and my plastic fork, and I made my way for the door. And the lady met me and she said, preacher, did you see me looking at you? I said, I did. She said, I wanted to come where you was and fellowship and talk to you, but I couldn't come over there. I said, I'm sorry. What was wrong? She said, you sat down where my boy died. And I was so grieved, I couldn't go fellowship with you where you was. Whew. How many times has God the Holy Ghost wanted to come down and fellowship with me or fellowship with you, but He couldn't because you had grieved Him over your poor attitude, over the words you said, over just your actions, and you grieved the Holy Ghost. I dare say some of you, I preached last week, sometime during this week, there's been something that hindered God from fellowshipping with you. You got tore out of the frame about a ball game. You got tore out of the frame about your work schedule. You got tore out of the frame about something going on in the family. You got tore out of the frame, and God couldn't fellowship with you. He wanted to, but you grieved Him, and He couldn't come to where you were and wrap His arms around you and say, "How I love you." The Bible says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed." Any of y'all ever can beans? What happens when you put that seal on there sometime later on in the evening? Whoop! Sealed. And the beans, listen, you shake the beans, you tear the beans apart, you can turn them upside down, you can catch them, you can flip them, you can kick them, you can roll them, but the beans ain't getting out until the seal is broken. Who breaks the seal? The one who made it. God the Holy Ghost sealed you. He's the earnest. You know what earnest money is? It's a down payment that says, "I'm going to secure what the transaction I'm after. I'm going to prove to you that I'm going to complete this thing." The Holy Ghost is the earnest payment. He's the down payment. Lord said, "I've given the down payment on you. I've already paid the price in full. And I'm showing you I'm going to take you all the way home with me." And I don't need one more thing. He's going to keep me and provide for me and take care of me every step of the way. Oh my. The Bible says, I'm almost done. "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which is greater than all, gave them unto me, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. I and my Father are one." That you know not? 1 Peter chapter 5. Chapter 1 verse 5. "You've been kept by the power of God." Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I want to quit. Feel like we ought to stop. I got two verses. 1 Samuel 27, verse number 8. And we'll be done. "I'm glad the Lord is my shepherd. I'm glad to report tonight I have a shepherd. He's a personal shepherd." Amen. In Psalm 22, we see the cross of the shepherd. In Psalm 23, we see the crook of the shepherd. And in Psalm 24, we see the crown of the shepherd. Now look with me. Here's the shepherd one more time. 1 Samuel 27, verse 8. "And David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gezerites and the Amalekites." Now stop for a minute. Wait. Saul was told to destroy the Amalekites. Utterly destroy all of them. But somehow he didn't do that. And he allowed that whole outfit to live. And though they had an opportunity to live on, they probably had opportunities to repent. They would not. I ought to be in hell with my back broke. The first time the Lord spoke to me, I didn't get saved. I wish I could tell you I did. But I was scared. And I was trying to excuse it, get away from it. And He didn't owe me a second chance to come back, youngins. He didn't have to come back at all. I thought about it while I was preaching at the radio station. I got up, went over to my daddy, and I said, "Daddy, I want to thank you for making sure that I heard the gospel, making sure that I met this man named Jesus. Thank you, Daddy, for that. And I appreciate my daddy putting me in that position." And I went back over there, and I got down before my Father, and I said, Father God, I want to thank you that you put me in a place where I could meet your son Jesus. And I'm sorry I didn't get saved the first time I met him. I'm sorry I didn't receive it. But you came back a second time, and I sure am grateful. This is a crowd that should have been killed, should not have lived, should have been utterly destroyed. It's you and me. But thank God we got saved. Finally, we call on the shepherd. Now to the crowd, will you listen? Come here, I want to tell you. To the crowd that says, "I'm not one of his sheep. He's not my shepherd. I don't think that Jesus is God. And I'm not interested in the Holy Spirit, you say. I want to tell you something right now. In 1 Samuel 27, verse 8. For those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David, that's the shepherd, he smote the land. He left neither man nor woman alive. He took away the sheep, the oxen, the asses, the camel, and the apparel, and returned. I'll stop there. Some golden daybreak, the shepherd's coming to receive his flock home to heaven. And there's going to be a crowd. It'll be a huge crowd. Not the flock of God, but the flock of their father, the devil, who have said no to Jesus, who have spurned Him, who have rejected Him, and said, oh no, I believe that I can overpower the shepherd. Honey, my shepherd slapped the lion right through the face, snatched me right out of the clutches of that lion, and slapped him again and killed him. And honey, if he's going to kill and put down the devil, the world will have, listen, he'll have no trouble with the world. He's going to come, and he's going to defeat every man, woman, boy, and girl that says no to Jesus Christ. Preacher Darren, how dare you say something like that? Preacher Darren, why would you mention this to me? God does not want your soul to go to hell. He does not want you to die and go to hell. He wants to save your soul. I can't but help tell it. Sitting in the service, a young man that had come to Bethel, had been working at my house with some friends of mine in my kitchen, putting in new cabinets. And I'd witnessed to him, testified to him. He had lost his license because of DUI. He had gotten a lot of trouble with the law, but they allowed him to get a job and to try to get his life back together. And over the 2 weeks he worked there, I witnessed to him, and he told his buddies, he said, I want to go hear Preacher Darren preach. I kind of like him. I think he's my friend. And they called me, and they said, on Sunday night, we're going to leave our churches and bring him to yours. And we were in the prayer room, and we came out. And I preached that night. Title of the message, There Are Things You Cannot Afford to Miss. Three people got saved. This young man, his nickname was Elvis, was not one of them. I stood right back there underneath those double doors as he walked through them. And he said, Preacher, I enjoyed the message. I said, son, he's bigger than me. I said, son, did you hear what the Lord had me preach to you? He said, I did. I understood it. I need to be saved. I said, well, let's get saved right now. Let's do it. He said, I can't, preacher. He said, I got to straighten up first. I'm not on drugs anymore, and I'm not drinking anymore, but then I'm still running with the wrong crowd, and I'm doing the wrong things, and I'm listening to the wrong music, and I'll get right. Just give me some time. And I begged him. I said, Elvis, please, don't leave. Don't walk over the threshold of this house, God's house. Don't do it, Elvis. He said, I'll be back, preacher. I'll be back. He left that night. The week went by, and on Friday night, about 11 o'clock, my phone rang. It was them boys that brought him to our church. And said, Preacher Darren? I said, yeah, y'all. Hey, man, how y'all doing? I said, you going to bring Elvis back to church Sunday night? I sure hope he's had a good week. He's going to come back. And they said, you not watching the news? I said, no. He said, well, before you do, Elvis was shot and killed today. I said, he was what? He said, today he got his license back. And today he had enough money to go put a down payment on a used car. And he got the car, and they pulled him over, suspected not wearing his seat belt. And he kind of had words, and they said, we think we need to do a breathalyzer test on you, and we're going to take you in. And they put him in the car.
And somehow Elvis still had a box cutter. Don't know how it happened. And he pulled the box cutter out and he went over for that trooper's neck. And he missed his neck, but he cut his seatbelt off. He cut into his bulletproof vest. The trooper got the car stopped. Elvis jumped out the door. He's in the front seat. Don't know how it happened. He jumped out and he said, "Stop or I'll shoot, Elvis." And Elvis kept running and he boom, boom, put him down. And right now tonight, well, I'm preaching to you about my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And I'm shouting, I have a good friend that worked in my house, that sat right back here on these pews, who walked right out that door that you do, who said, I'll take my chances just another week or two. And God stopped his life with death and denied Elvis. If in that moment, if in that second or two he lived, he probably didn't say, "Oh God, forgive me," that I'll be satisfied and praise God forever in heaven that he got saved. But more than likely, sitting on the same pews you did, I was the last preacher that ever preached to him. Don't you know that I sure am glad I got down and begged him. I sure am glad that I offered. But Lord, could I have done more? What more could I have done to have convinced him that the Lord needs to be his shepherd? But I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And if you have a loved one tonight, and they're lost, you sit here, they go through your mind and they're on your heart, and you think, "Well, I got plenty of time." Honey, you don't know what accident and what heart attack, you don't know what disease, you don't know what moment that they're going to leave. How we ought to beg our shepherd. Oh God, would you bring my family into the fold? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the place of salvation. You stand at your feet. Seth, I feel like you're on play. Maybe there's somebody here. Maybe you're here tonight. Maybe you're listening to me. You've never been saved. Now's a good time. Now's a good time. Quit playing tiddlywinks and games and being a counterfeit, being fake with God. Get saved before it's too late. And if you're here tonight, you got a friend, you got a family member, you got a loved one, you ought to bring their name to the shepherd and just say, "Man, I've got a daughter, man, I've got a daddy, man, I've got a cousin, I've got someone I love, Lord, that needs to be saved." Harold Shepherd is still in the lion slapping business. "Preacher Dan, I want to get saved, but I'm online. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray." Honey, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross and was buried and rose again? Honey, do you believe that you're a sinner? Just bow your head and tell him, say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Will you forgive me?" Ask him, "Will you forgive my sins? Wash me in the blood." Ask him. Ask him to save you. Ask him to let you go to heaven. Ask him to come into your life. Honey, if you'll ask him, if you'll humble yourself, he'll save you right on the spot. And you can truly say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Father, tonight, I have loved ones. I have friends. Oh, God, help us tonight. Oh, God, it's lost. That need to be saved. Lord, I've watched you save others. I've watched you save my girl. I've watched you save my boy. Years ago, I watched you save my wife. Lord, I've watched you save and save and save. I've seen miracle after miracle, the protection and the care of God. You are my shepherd, and I praise you. But Lord, there's some right now. They're in the clutches of the enemy. And if God, where they are, if they would but cry out and just say, "Jesus, save me." you'd slap that lion right through the face and knock him back and set them free and deliver them. God, I pray tonight, Lord, you'd do it. Lord, there's believers in this altar tonight that believe because you saved them, they believe that you can save their loved ones. Lord, they believe you can rescue. There's nothing too hard for you. Oh, God, tonight I pray you'd go tonight, Lord, and set them free. Lord, I ask your help. Would you touch our church? God, would you provide for us? Would you shelter? Would you protect us? God, would you deliver us? God, would you help us? God, I pray that we'd be growing. Save folks, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.